Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation here on a Football Friday with you on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's a Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the pimp cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 5 hours flawless once again. It is a Mavs game night, so that'll be fun. Hopefully they can inspire some confidence here playing without Luka, maybe without P.J. Washington, but of course it's a Football Friday. You have Wolchuk and Chiafalo. You do have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. I'm going to talk plenty of football with you, but it's going to be a big night for the Rangers and the Fan next Thursday here downstairs in our showroom. Free Whataburger as the Rangers winter caravan gets underway in the hot stove show with Jared Sandler. But Marcus Simeon's going to be down there signing autographs along with Cody Bradford at 6:30 next Thursday. Free autographs and then the hot stove show there 7 to 8 with Sand. So it'll be an enchanted evening down there. The Rangers vibes will be flowing here. That's downstairs in our performance showroom here at your home of the 2023 World Series champs.
That is amazing. I mean, I cannot believe that it's already that time again. Baseball time in Texas. Get that Bradford autograph if you can. That thing's going to be going up in value this
year. It's
going
to be hot.
Cody Bradford is a stud. Maybe the most underrated pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Obviously, you know, Simeon, that's a prime autograph. But, boys, I mean, we were just over a month away. Now we're going to be hanging out in Surprise, Arizona for some Rangers baseball. Go home, Dodgers.
Go home, Dodgers.
Yeah, can't wait, man. Right around the corner. I feel like it's going to be a big bounce-back year for Simeon. You know, guys like that, you think, 33, 34 years old might be slowing down. No. That's not how it goes for elite-level performers like that. Maybe they need an adjustment, you know, but the adjustment will be made, and glory will resume. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a bit more of a DH option, though. You know, maybe, you know, it's just whatever it takes to be at your best. Jerry Jones on the Fan this morning said this week's game won't impact the coaching decision, said the hay is in the barn as far as the qualities of the coaches and what they have brought to the table. And it's not really a process from here to go through evaluating everything because there is so much history here. He knows, you know, he says there's so much water under the bridge, but it's good water. I guess they could move on. I expect if I had to choose one way or another, they will bring back Mike. I mean, he's a winner, and he makes things easy on Jerry. Jerry's got to, like, train a coach and not totally neuter him, but just kind of, like, get the scissors out and snip at him a couple of times. And then the coach kind of falls in line. And that's why Jason Garrett got to do 10 years here. Sure. And Jason Garrett never had the kind of success that Mike McCarthy did, Brian.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, we'll see. How this really all plays out, like we're all kind of, I know that talking to the guys and gals over that cover the team, you know, the beat writers, they're all kind of, they think it's a coin flip, you know, they're there every single day. And, you know, the Cowboys have done really a very good job of kind of masking this. If they're talking to Don Yee, I haven't heard any word about that. You know, as far as are they reaching out? Are they negotiating behind the scenes? Really haven't heard anything like that at all. I do believe, though, like I said earlier with you guys, you're going to start to hear more and more positivity about Mike McCarthy having other opportunities. And I do think that is I think that's strategic in a way to maybe feel like that Jerry and Steven need to get off their ass if they want to get this done.
Well, yeah. I mean, with the season ending, I would want clarity if I'm Mike. I'm like, tell me one way or another.
They won't. They'll sit there.
Because I do think there's going to be enough interest in him from one team or another. Now, should they have interest, that's up for you to decide.
Exactly.
You know, but he produced a lot of top five offenses here with the Cowboys. And, you know you're going to get the accountability, the culture, the professionalism. And while it lacks imagination, he's clearly doing some things right. And I could see that being very attractive for a lot of these owners around the league.
Yeah, if they and you might be right about this, Dawson. I mean, Jerry has to coach these coaches on they operate. I think Mike McCarthy, you know, he's grateful to have the job. He took the job under a very difficult situation with the pandemic. Yeah. Like anybody wanted to do that. We were all kind of going in a thousand different ways. You know, he did get his program, implemented. Other things that, that he probably needed to do better. Absolutely. The playoff stuff is for real. They haven't had success in that. And that's legitimate. But, you know, working for Jerry Jones is, it can be very challenging. And, you know, I think Mike realizes where he's at with that. I don't think Jerry can lowball him with this situation. I don't think Jerry can come in and say, okay, we'll just give you a couple of years and let's go to work.
No.
I don't, you know, I think Mike's a little bit smarter than that. And I think he's got a really good agent in Don Yee. And, you know, Don has done deals for Sean Payton, got him back in the league, got Jim Harbaugh back in the league. This guy's got some clout when it comes to moving his guys around and getting to where he needs to be. So, you know, Mike needs to play with any kind of leverage that he can have, but I believe he's going to force the Joneses to have to make a decision. I don't think there's any going to be any waiting around, you know, for like, you know, 2 weeks and then all of a sudden we've, you know, Mike.
Well, his contract's not up until the 14th.
Right.
So yeah. He's got 11 days. So they can milk this into next week. He doesn't get to wake up on Monday morning and go field interviews from other people.
Yeah.
He, you know, so there is a little bit of that.
Yeah, but the Joneses have to be worried about Don going out and lining stuff up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, there's a lot of back channeling going on in the National Football League.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of teams that are like, hey, listen, what's the situation with Mike? What are you going to do with the Cowboys? You're going to resign? You know, Don might be telling them, hey, I haven't heard from them yet. You know, I haven't heard from the Cowboys.
A lot of things will start moving between next Monday and, you know, conference championship weekend. Yeah, for sure. And I think the only way this really ends up going sideways is if, for whatever reason, the Cowboys have the self-awareness to understand, okay, we like Mike for certain reasons, but the offense isn't one of them.
Right.
And I wonder if they'll be sturdy on, hey, you can come back, Mike, but we're going to need a revamped offense. So. And perhaps he would say, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
Especially if he's got another offer. But, like if the Bears stuff's real or New Orleans or whatever, one of these other teams that he's been linked with.
New Orleans will be a player in this, I believe.
Absolutely.
I think New Orleans will be a player.
It would be so ideal if he would want to come back but not be the offensive coordinator and play caller. I mean, that I think that's ideal because I'm conflicted on this. I want more offensive creativity, but I also think there's a much better chance you end up with somebody who's going to take you further from your chances of winning a Super Bowl.
What if Zimmer doesn't want to come back? Doesn't it make bringing McCarthy back even less of a good option? Because right now you want to bring McCarthy back for continuity, right?
Yeah.
But if Zimmer doesn't want to come back and you got to change the defense anyways, that'd be even more reason to be like, man, let's do a whole bunch of different stuff here.
You know, if Mike comes back, we've heard about Mike and his concern for his assistants. He might insist that Al Harris get this job now.
Yeah.
You know, that might be. But then you got guys like Bob Saleh out there. You know, is he going to get an opportunity to coach one of these teams? Maybe he'll see this as an opportunity. The last couple of guys that have, you know, been here, it seems like have gotten, you know, you look at Dan Quinn and maybe, you know, hell, if there's an opening here at head coach, Mike Zimmer might have a shot at this job too.
Yeah.
So, the last two guys that have had defensive coordinator titles here could be, you know, guys that 1 year, next thing you know, they're head coaches again.
Well, the end of the Cowboys season is coming on Sunday, so this is going to be, you know, a conversation in a different light, different context when we resume it on Monday. Hasn't been often for the last 20 years where a Cowboys team is eliminated before the final game. I can think of 2010 and 2015 and 2020, but they've done a nice job of stretching this out. It is miserable. It's kind of depressing to be going into the final weekend with no hope of a magic carpet ride, especially because of the 3-12 win seasons that Mike produced. And, you know, I think Jerry values that a lot. I think, you know, he for right or wrong, and I don't think this is a valid thought anymore when it comes to trying to win the Super Bowl, you hang around the rim of, you know, being a playoff team, and eventually you have a really good chance of getting through. I don't think that is as good of an idea for team building as maybe it was in the NFL in the 2000s decade. The game of team building has evolved significantly since then, and teams are just building teams that will smash you. If you're just trying to get in the tournament and get lucky, you will get smashed by one of the two best teams in your conference.
Yeah, and this type of season is the worst type of season because they could have leaned into the disasters that were obvious, and you would at least have the hope of being eliminated now, and probably weeks ago, you would have the hope of what this offseason has to come. There's going to be a lot of new. We're not even going to talk about if McCarthy's coming back because he's not, and you're picking in the top five. But now you're sitting here, no postseason, and you're just picking middle of the pack, 13th, 14th. It's the worst place to find yourself.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Like, mediocrity can, you know, really puts you on a hamster wheel to nowhere.
Kind of sums up the last 30 years of Dallas Cowboys football right there.
It does. Yeah, that was well said. I think the Commanders do win this game and win it big. You know, I don't know what the score is going to be. Something like 35-13 sounds about right, though. I don't think Parsons is going to play. I do think Trey Lance is going to play. You know, I think the coaches are going to say, let's evaluate Lance as a passer instead of a runner. Like, you know, the Cowboys would never tank a full season, but I think what we're seeing here is they're at least going to make some smart business decisions about where their draft pick needs to be to give themselves the best chance of finding an impact player. So I think you can at least take a little bit of comfort in that. If Washington's trying to win, this has got to be a 20-point game at least.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry came out and he's trying to win himself.
He's trying to speak that into existence.
He's trying to kind of figure out. So if the mandate from the owner general manager is to try and win, I think Commanders are a better team right now. The one of the things, though, it's interesting is, though, that Cooper Rush played one of his absolute best games of the season against the Commanders.
He did.
You know, when you look at, you know, with his completion percentage, you know, the way that Dallas ran the football, I mean, they put the Commanders in some harm's way with the Cowboys with the way their offense was. And so with no CeeDee Lamb, that'll be difficult to do, but at least Cooper Rush, I mean, if you want to hang your hat on something, I mean, he was outstanding against the Commanders the last time they played.
It is weird because they've been like, yeah, Rush is our guy. We're trying to win games. And then today, Jerry's, oh, you know, for competitive reasons, I'm not going to say for sure who's starting. So you're probably going to see some Trey Lance, or else why would they not just say, hey, we're playing Cooper Rush again and keep the status quo?
Well, I think they're playing Cooper Rush as long as they have a chance to win the game. And then if it gets out of hand, like you're talking about, Dawson, where it's a 20-point game or whatever.
But then why won't they say that Cooper's going to start the game? They don't even want to say that right now.
I think Cooper Rush is going to start this game.
I was wondering why Jerry said that, like what was in his head when he was like, well, for competitive reasons, I won't say who the starting quarterback is. There's just no way you can justify it. Maybe he wants everybody to play, and he's disappointed that members of his organization have managed to talk in Steve and Mike to, hey, let's sit down CeeDee Lamb, let's sit down Micah Parsons. You know, we actually have a chance to win these next two games, not make the playoffs and end up picking 19th, Dad, okay? And he's out here saying, well, I'd love to play to win. You know, and I believe that's how Jerry would take it, but he's not always the final decision maker.
Or he's trying to encourage the crowd to show up.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, hey, I don't want to tank this home game.
Yes.
You know, and not have a bunch of
always taking care of the sponsors. Yeah. You know, with his words, he's always selling. You have a pregame with Chiafalo and Broadus on Sunday afternoon, and then Woolchuck and Broadus, and everybody will have the postgame. Notre Dame over Georgia last night as the show ended. You know, one of the biggest takeaways is just how much of an impact transfer portal guys had. Half dozen of them making major impacts on the game, of course, led by the quarterback, Riley Leonard, who had been at Duke. But you had big plays all over the field. When I got home and watched the replays of it and the breakdowns, this guy's from this school, this guy's from that school. It's like, holy crap, you cannot win unless you're dominating this portal.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, and you were always thinking like, man, how can Notre Dame get transfer portal guys? Well, they've done some things with admission. And they've also come with NIL money.
There you go.
And so they realize that they have to be able to compete, they have to be able to bring money, and they have.
Did you get another email from Brian Kelly after that game? Is he asking for more money this morning?
He always reminds me he needs more money.
I'm sure after that one it was the biggest of reminders.
I don't delete the emails. I mean, I read them and I see what he's pushing there.
$1 million, please, Brian. Come on.
He's not wrong though. All these programs, if you're from a big time school or a school that plays football, and your school asks you for money, you know, you got to give what you can, but. Because that's the only way nowadays to compete. You can, you know, you're talking about, you know, $5 million for players, you know, upwards to $30 million for a roster. Look at Ohio State. Ohio State might be the favorite to win this thing, all of it.
You know what I'd do if I were you? I would get some alumni together and start like a department of university efficiency and say, okay, you guys want $10 million. Yeah. Let's open up your books. And see how many people salary inside this athletic department that have no freaking business drawing this kind of cash out of us.
You could see by what you're paying for on every Saturday night when you watch your team play.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, it's kind of like watching your pro team play.
Well,
we really spent money on this guy, you know.
But they're putting it on you because they don't want to trim at all. Like I've talked with women soccer coaches who are not getting money at all. They have access to private planes and staffs of like 40 people. They're sitting around here like having the time of their lives doing pro sports. And then they're turning around and asking you to pay for the players and saying, this is why we can't win. You won't pay the players.
Yeah,
fire 80% of the people in the athletic department. What are these people doing
here?
What
are they
doing? Yeah.
I feel
what do you need? You need coaches? You need video department? Yeah, you need a training
your
staff?
Your organization's terrible.
Yeah. Mm. I feel obligated to pay for all the fat.
Yeah.
I do.
You don't want to trim it.
I don't want to trim
keep that fat.
Yeah, keep the fat.
Wow, keep the flavor.
That's the abusive relationship I'm talking about here.
I've lived it for far too
long. Hey, I mean,
2019, I was in a national championship game.
They give us,
that long ago.
They give us so much entertainment and value in our lives. You know, why not? Why not?
You're not wrong, Dawson. I just can't bring myself to want to fire people.
It reminds me of the kid that we had at University of Tennessee like a decade ago. You remember the story where the football player like robbed him, pointed a gun at him, beat the crap out of him, and he refused to press charges because he wanted to win the game on Saturday.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
College football
get out there. Get out there. We'll worry about this on Sunday.
Rabid bunch.
I kind of feel like I've been robbed and beat up, and and I still want us
the way she goes.
Still want us to win on Saturday.
All right. No, I hear you, man. I'd do anything for my sports teams, too. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. NFL True or Fart coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
We got some bold predictions for Week 18. You true or you farting on this? That's next.
Here we go, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day. A segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 7.5 minutes. It's time now for Wolchuk to give us an edition of NFL True or Fart.
Thank you very much. Yes, we got some bold predictions for Week 18, the big finale to the NFL season. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
Oh, my goodness. Let's start in the AFC. We got Broncos, Dolphins, Bengals. They're all fighting to get that last wild card spot. Carson Wentz is getting the start for Kansas City. Eric Chiafalo, Carson Wentz, and the Chiefs are going to keep the Broncos out of the postseason.
I believe the Broncos are like 11-point favorites in this game. The Chiefs are going all in on resting their dudes. It's not just Pat Mahomes for Carson Wentz. I think they're going to be doing a lot of that kind of stuff. So
2 week rest, huh?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, they're leading
Jones.
Into all the rest. Yes.
Not going to be playing.
Wow.
So I would guess Sean Payton and that defense are going to be able to get it done. So I will fart.
You're going to fart?
I'm going to fart.
Okay.
Yeah, that's football flatulence, Wolchuk.
It's a fart.
Yep.
I mean, Carson Wentz, he came into that one game, whatever it was, maybe it was when Mahomes hurt the ankle, and he came in and his first drop back was just staring around.
Chaotic.
Like, oh, I have no idea what to do, and then he just scrambles for half a yard.
Like, what about the pressure on Bo Nix in this situation, winning in, all the marbles?
Bo Nix has no pressure.
It's an all the marbles
on Sean
game.
Payton.
Just don't screw it up, man. Your defense is going to go win you this football game.
Pressure
like they have
on Sean
all season.
Payton to beat a team that's giving it up. So, man, I'm going to say it's a fart, though. I think the Broncos win.
Yeah. Denver's been close to beating them.
They have been.
You know, maybe they even did beat
them
last
year.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. I'll go for it.
Kind of got their number.
As well.
Like we all went fart on Notre Dame winning that game yesterday.
Which means Carson Wentz and the Chiefs are going to get the win tomorrow. All right, let's go to Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, Brian Broaddus, and of course, if the Bucs win, they're in. They are champions of the NFC South. But Baker, he's not only going to lead the Bucs to victory, he's going to toss a record-setting 5 touchdowns for a second game in a row.
I tell you what, I'm going to say fart on the 5 touchdowns, but I do think the Buccaneers do. They play the Saints, right?
Yeah.
Saints have got the U-Haul, you know, in the parking lot, engines running. You know, yeah, they're done. This Tampa goes on.
It's a perfect situation for a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, who doesn't have it together enough to actually win massive games. But at home, Week 18, must-win situation against a sorry outfit like the Saints, he's going to spike that field at the end of the game.
He's going to crush
flag.
It.
Yeah, he's going to plant the flag.
Yeah, they got the Mike Evans numbers to hit, and you know he's going to be passionate about hitting that. That's a 13.5-point spread right there with the Bucks.
We got
in favor.
Spencer Rattler playing quarterback for the
Spencer
Saints.
Spencer Rattler over there. Maybe he throws a couple of touchdowns, keeps this thing a little closer.
A couple of touchdowns to the Buccaneers.
He'll throw a couple of interceptions in there. Kind of a Jameis-like stat line possibly for Spencer. But yeah. Maybe Mike Evans catches five touchdowns himself.
Yeah. I'm farting on the five touchdowns, but the Bucks are going to win that football game. Interesting about the Bucks, though. How many teams have they beaten this year that have a 500 record or better?
Zero.
But man, have they been close. I mean, if anybody gets the
teams where if you take away the scoreboard, you're kind of like.
Wasn't there a two-point conversion that Todd Bowles should have gone for?
Yeah. They go to overtime, they lose.
And then we all saw Baker Mayfield's reaction when the coin went in the air and came down, and Mahomes called the right. And in overtime, he called heads, and then Baker Mayfield was like, "Oh, damn, he got the ball.
He knew what it was.
He knew it was over."
This is a sneaky hot seat game for Todd Bowles. I mean, God help you if you lose this game, miss the playoffs. Liam Cohen, young OC, he's probably getting the promotion.
Oh.
You're the head man now.
That's got to be a ball sacking then that you just got with the Bucs. Because they beat the Lions week two.
They did.
They did beat the Lions.
Bucks have not beat a team over 500.
They did. They went to Detroit.
Except for the Lions and the Eagles.
They did beat the Eagles as well.
That was a ball sacking.
Had to have been. But since the Eagles game, they have not.
Since the Eagles game, they have not. Thank you for saving me.
So I got you, buddy. That's having my teammates back right
I'm
there.
All
right, seamless transition.
Although New Orleans was over 500 at the time they played them.
Damn it, Gavin. We're just going to dump that Lucius.
I think they've only beaten 500 or better teams.
Yeah, that's all it is.
That was actually what I read.
All right, I think we're all true or fart. Jaden Daniels is going to beat the Cowboys in the final minute of the game. This is going to come down to the final minute. Jaden Daniels is going to go on the drive, and they're going to end up getting the victory to improve their playoff.
Total flatulence.
Game in hand?
The game will not be in question any later than 10 minutes to go in the first half.
Are you making a prediction we'll see Marcus Mariota?
Yeah. Mop-up duty?
Sure.
Mariota versus Lance in the fourth quarter?
Mariota versus Lance would be fun. How many rushing yards do you think we get there between the two of them combined? Just in a fourth quarter?
Probably.
Lance could go on a 30-yard run himself.
Has the Buccaneers beat anybody over 500 this year?
Yeah, they have.
I think all
they do is just beat 500 teams and they lose.
Did we establish
teams.
They have beaten somebody?
Yeah, they have. They've beaten a couple.
Multiple.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
A handful.
Okay. Maybe several.
As funny as it would be to watch Washington lose this game, I think the only thing Mike McCarthy could do to anger people enough in that building to make his ass grass quickly would be to go win it.
Go full Lovie Smith on this thing.
You cannot win this game. You know,
make it happen.
You're the Cowboys?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't think they were winning the first game in Washington, and they found a way to get it done.
But you take Micah Parsons out of this game, Jaden Daniels is going to look not only like the rookie of the year, he'll look like the MVP.
Zimmer did a great job of confusing him that last time out.
They did a very good job against him until the final minute, really, where he threw that crazy bomb to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
And we thought all of a sudden, oh my gosh, is this? Are we about to witness a loss here?
But was that in the midst of Jaden Daniels not doing as much running at the time?
Yeah,
he was running the other night versus the Falcons. He had a couple of runs in the game against Dallas, and he stopped running.
Yeah,
but that what was, happened. There were a couple of times where he had some really good runs and then shut it down.
All right, last one here. True or fart. Gavin, Drake May and the Patriots are going to upset the Bills to cost themselves the first overall pick. This really is going full Lovie Smith here.
Now, are the Bills playing for something?
Bills are playing for seeding.
I thought they were locked in it, too.
Are they locked in it,
They're going to be locked in. Josh Allen will start, but he'll probably only play a quarter or a half, perhaps. He's trying to keep his consecutive start streak alive.
I'll buy that. Yeah. I think the Patriots have something. You know, watching in on them, the quarterback is something. I could see that happening.
Now, May is questionable. If he doesn't play, who knows? Yeah. But I'm going to say far. I think the Bills will still get the win there. Nobody circles the wagons. Like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I think even the Patriots have, I know May, it looks like he's going to be playing, which I think is foolish on their part, but they have, like, Christian Gonzalez is not going to be playing. They have some studs that are not going to
be out.
Yeah.
Well, it is time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has a Friday edition of your G-Bag of the Day.
Well, we got a lot of weird playoff things. Somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, we got another team.
Somebody needs to tie.
Craziness.
Oh, yeah, on a Friday. First Friday of the year. We made it, baby.
Here we go.
Yeah, we made it. All right, our winner so far is Trap House Sports.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with Trap House Sports, he does some diss tracks and everything. Disgruntled Cowboy fan, you may know him as. Out here. I believe this is day two for my man, right?
Day two.
Yeah.
Day two.
Looking for two.
All right, this one. Cowboys game film breakdown of Eagles versus the Cowboys, and he's just going to walk you through what he sees.
Yeah, man, another week of Cowboys football, man. This right here, this, yeah. Can't even get my words together, bro. I'm just so flabbergasted. What the f***? Hey, bro, what's wrong with Kenny Pickett? He acoustic? What was this? What the flying f*** was that? He got thrown by his own ball. Ball through him. I never seen it before. It was the worst thing Kenny Pickett or any NFL player has ever done, ever. Turns right around and start dotting us up, bro. I'm devastated. Can't stand it, bro. Why are we even out there? We just out there bullshit. He ain't out there playing for real. He's just out there getting paid. Ain't nobody really out there playing for real. Not even Cooper Rush. He out there throwing up punts for the other team. Threw up a punt. He threw up. Straight belt to ass, man. Belt,
belt to
whooping.
Ass.
We got a whooping. Fresh out the shower whooping. We hit our report card from our mama. That's the kind of whooping we got. Talk back to the teacher. That's the kind of whooping we got. Devontae Smith, little ass out there doing his bad. Kenny Pickett got hurt. They put the third string in. Guess what he do? Dots us up. Out there getting laced by the third string guy. We get laced by the
yes, dude.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff, bro. Pretty good, man. Friday, first Friday of 2025. I was feeling this one all day, y'all. This is usually a Saturday song. After you done cleaned the car and everything, you roll through the old neighborhood. That's what you usually do. But I'm feeling it on a Friday. All right. Number two on our list. It's a gym bro that confronts a stinky guy at the gym.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times. Not the confrontation, but I've seen the stinky guy at the gym a few times. Yeah. It's amazing, too. Like, wow, you in here cutting up, cuz.
Yeah.
You are tearing up.
Are these your normal days and times? Because I'm looking to avoid you.
Yeah. You have no concern for anybody else in this place.
Yeah.
Check this out.
Bro, do you realize you smell like absolute
Yeah.
You wear deodorant?
Yeah.
You shower?
Yeah.
You reek, bro. Like, really bad. Mm-hmm. I think everyone else at the gym knows, too, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know, bro. It's terrible.
I mean, what a hero.
Absolute ass, bro. Yeah, yeah, man. Dang. Yeah, he did a damn thing right there.
Round of applause.
Everybody else.
I always wonder, like, what's wife or significant other thinking here? Like, you know, because the combination of the BO and then that bad, like, laundry smell where your clothes are all mildewy.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, how the people are, that live around you just accept yeah. that as your normal smell.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, you force that polo shirt that you've been wanting to wear.
Yeah.
You force it through the wash.
Yeah.
And it sits in there too long.
Yes.
And yeah, you try to dry it anyway.
Yeah.
And you wear it, you're like, man, what is that weird smell out here?
Yeah.
Is that me?
Yep.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Man. You put your shirt up to your nose, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Crap.
I got to go to the gym and get a t-shirt out of my locker. I can't wear this.
It will sneak up on you.
Yeah, this is something else. All right, this is not one, but former NFL footballer Mark Schlereth joins the G-Bag Nation once a week to give his take on the NFL weekend.
Yeah.
He takes a shot at Micah Parsons.
Stink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Micah Parsons had that, if you take the scoreboard away, it was pretty good out there, really, if you take the scoreboard away. Stink couldn't help but take a little shot on his way out the door about that.
I just want to thank you for being a great guest all year, Stink. Really appreciate you.
I appreciate it, man. You guys are the best. Take care. And, hey, you're only five plays away from winning that game.
Hey, without the scoreboard, Stink, we were right there.
Right there, Stink.
That may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's going to be the touchdown.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Five plays away.
That's only because he hadn't heard that the Bucs hadn't beaten anybody over 500 this year.
Yeah. That's when I think maybe Mike is going to turn into one hell of a athlete broadcaster.
Yeah.
Like, is he trolling everybody with that? Is he going home being like, man, you see what I said out there today?
I mean, if you take the points away, we play pretty good, man. Take the points away. I'll show you the clips. All right, now this went viral already, but I feel it's just apropos since it's the beginning of the year, and this year started off with a bang already. It started off on Demon Time. If you're paying attention, this year is not playing. There's a Dallas Uber driver that was reunited with his old friend that he hasn't seen in 20 years. And I feel like it's just good little old clip just to give us in a get us in a good mood.
How's it going, John?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Man, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Just trying to keep it warm.
Right? It's that wind chill today to get you.
Yeah, that wind gonna mess us up today.
The sun makes it seem like it's warmer than it is.
Yeah. Busy this morning?
Yes, sir. Always on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place.
What's your name, man?
My name's Danny.
Man, I know you. You don't know me.
Man, hell yeah! Joe, what the
f***? Man, I know you.
Gavin, what the F, man?
We had one like that a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was outside of a job or something like that, or bus stop or something like that. I love it. A fun reunion. Uber driver and his passenger have a history. Mark Schlereth with a shot at Micah Parsons. Jim Bro confronting Stinky Guy, or a Trap House Sports disgruntled Cowboys fan looking for a two-time status here today. I'm voting for the Jim Bro. Chief, how about you?
Give me Schlereth.
Lucius?
Trap House.
We're tied at one. Woolchuck.
Jim Bro.
Brian?
Vote for it, Trap House.
We're tied at two. Jump on to at GBag Nation. We'll create a little Insta poll there on X, at GBag Nation. You can follow us all when you get there. All of our handles are in the bio. So we'll announce the winner on the other side. Just be a little bit of a five-minute poll. And then we're getting into what, Chief?
We got Biggest L, Biggest Dub, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? That's next right here in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Have a big old football Friday here for you. Talking basketball coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll do a rim session. Nick Harris, Star Telegram's coming up at 3:20. Here's the Chief.
All right, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? Here's British Ian. Well, we have to start with the first GBag Nation ball sacking of 2025. It only took two shows.
Got him.
But there I am stepping in it once again. Had the resolution and everything. No more perpetuating ball sacks. And here I am doing just that 48 hours later. Now, I DM'd you guys the original sacking so you guys can see. It's just a Baker Mayfield meme that reads in bold letters, Bucks have not beat a team over 500. And then in very, very, very extremely fine print, you'll see in parentheses, except Lions, Commanders, and Eagles. And then Walchuk added too, and they beat the Chargers as well. Yeah.
So they just messed up the fine print.
just half their wins, essentially.
That is the ultimate troll job.
Oh my gosh. By the way, salute to disgruntled Cowboys fan. He won G-Bag of the Day in the poll on at G-Bag Nation, 71-29% against the Jim Bro.
Hey, well deserved.
Pretty popular. Dude, he took the ass right there.
Yeah, yeah, he really did. Big L to Parker Jones, walk-on player for the Bulldogs. Oh. He's getting all of the exact things that you don't want to get on the internet right now, but he's being blamed for something that was far bigger than him. Georgia sucked yesterday. And they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't tackle. They had no idea what was going on. Kirby Smart was being outcoached. And this poor kid, Parker Jones, is the one that's taking the biggest L of all. So salute to Parker Jones and Godspeed, my friend. I know it's loud out there. It's noisy. That's a shut off the phone day. That might be a launch the phone and computer, desktop and all, into the nearest body of water and just start walking.
Yeah.
And then just see where your day goes after that.
I'd say the rest of your life at that point, you know, it's probably a good time for a pivot.
Might go full Forrest Gump on that thing and just never stop.
Transfer.
I think I would transfer.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I think I'd leave
out. Coward's way out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think
just own it.
Cal Berkeley's looking at me right now.
Just go focus. Yeah, get out of the conference.
Go focus on your academics,
Utah,
man.
BYU, somebody.
It just isn't worth it.
Check all their schedule agreements for the next 4 years. Yeah. Make sure you're not going back.
Make sure you're not making any trips back to Athens.
What if he had a full turn and it's a comeback story of the ages and he becomes a get back coach for the Strong Sex or something?
Yeah. Trust me, you don't want to end up like me. All right. You don't want to be the next Parker Jones.
I'm the horror story. I'm the what not to do. But now this is what
get
to
back,
do.
Get back.
Man. The camera was following him, too.
Oh, ESPN did him no favors yesterday. I mean, because for the rest of the game, every time I turned over in studio to glance at the screen, there was Parker Jones with the saddest face you've ever seen. I'm like, dude, I would just go to the locker room.
He was back there by the Gatorade cups. I mean, he was. Yeah. I mean, he went from being like on the field interfering into like
might as well have been sent to the bleachers.
I think I would just walk straight off the field.
Yeah,
I think I'd go and just start packing my gear,
just leave.
Catch the Louis.
Not as boisterous as Antonio Brown taking the shirt off and letting everybody know, secretly sneaking back into the bowels
Louis
of the
Armstrong,
stadium.
I'd just get take an Uber to Louis Armstrong Airport, never fly somewhere, never come back.
Hey, big dub to Oreo lovers. This is exciting. How about Oreo re-releasing the Oreo flavored Oreo? What does that mean? The cream filling is cookies and cream.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. All right.
So it's just like as soon as you can't get enough Oreo, they put more Oreo into the cream and ignite the single greatest Oreo of all time. I'm assuming this is a double stuff situation.
It's one of the loaded ones, actually, from what I'm seeing here. Maybe they have different kinds.
We have to check everything Chief doing today. Is that what we're doing?
That's giant.
Well, yes.
That's
we're just living in this day and age. Much.
Fact check me on anything that comes out of my mouth today.
Oreo stuffed Oreo.
You typing it in?
Yeah. It is the loaded. You're right.
In fact,
Dawson.
It's
the bigger, like the mega stuff ones.
Oreo loaded. This looks like a thick one.
Yeah, this is.
This is definitely double stuffed. Maybe even mega stuffed.
I would call that a collective dub.
Is there a mega stuffed Oreo?
There's a mega stuffed now.
Is there really?
Yeah.
I'm working to confirm that.
It's $4.88 at Walmart. Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
I've loved Oreos for a long time. I've never had one of the different ones that have been better than the original.
No, I'm with you. I don't
other
really
than just
like
the stuff factor, right?
Yeah,
the
right.
Double stuff.
Yeah, the double stuff. Yeah.
The icing, right? Yeah. The different icing they'll put in there. It's like the birthday cake, and it's not good.
No,
mint, not good.
Doing too much.
I mean, like the Halloween colored ones or the Christmas colored ones; those are fine because it's the same thing, just with different dye.
Right.
But a lot of these, I did like the churro one, and the golden thin is very nice, by the way, if you're interested.
They're all fighting for second.
They are. Yep.
Well, assuming I'm not getting ball sacked on this one, big dub for Texas fans and lovers of Bevo. Looks like he's going to be making an appearance at AT&T Stadium for Texas and Ohio State.
Not a ball sacking. This is confirmed.
Okay.
Do they have enough room for him?
Yeah, saw him out there last year for the Big 12 title game.
Okay.
So they definitely have a spot where they can put him.
He takes up a lot of room.
He does. He's a big man.
So I guess Bennett and them aren't going to bring the cannon.
The cannon's
probably out of the mix.
Bam.
Sark asking Longhorn Nation to show out in Arlington. Do you think they will? Ohio State travels well.
Yeah,
I think this could still be a battle.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm expecting this to be almost like a Texas OU game, to be honest with you.
Well, they got 15,000 seats apiece, both schools. Texas is already sold out. They're gone. Yeah. This is going to be a hot ticket.
Ohio State's traveling straight over from the Rose Bowl. They're coming from Pasadena to stop off here.
Bennett said him and his buddies are doing the shirtless defense. Everybody's painting, and he's going to be the D.
I don't know, man.
I thought you confirmed that. I thought he was doing the rabbit face painting. He's the D in defense.
I told you,
and all the shirtless buddies are
everybody
be.
Wants to come back as Bennett in their second life because he's skiing right now for 5 days, and he's going to come back for the game.
Gosh, dude. Man, these kids and their Christmas breaks, they just go on forever.
No, forever. Trust me. Yeah.
Well,
never stops.
Big dub to the 254 getting promoted to supervisor this week.
Huh.
Congratulations, 254.
Come supervise our content.
Level up. Yeah. We need a
going on salary and working 90 hours a week.
No days off.
No days off. Day by day. 229, biggest dub is that my youngest daughter, who has been estranged from my side of the family, came back into the fold last weekend. Whoa, congratulations, 229.
I'd like to hear the story about that.
Yeah,
reunions. This is beautiful.
I love that, man. I love that. That's huge.
So you spend all the family inheritance coming back?
Prodigal daughter.
Can I get a check? Why are you asking her back, Dad? You know she spent all the money.
He notes that his biggest L, though, is that
son, get the calf.
Longtime Cowboys fans. all right, let's get to some others here. Big dub too. Do you guys know who Emma Roberts is?
Yes,
she's an
Julia Roberts' niece.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
She is Julia Roberts' niece. That's and cool. She was in the American Horror Story franchise, other films and shows.
Wow, sounds like Wolchuk's quite a fan. Never heard of her.
I know who this gal is.
You know who she is.
Yeah.
We going full on A-lister with this one, or is this?
I think she's
Emma Roberts' kid. I mean, she's Julia Roberts' kid.
At one point, she might have been. I don't think she's quite A-list now.
Right.
But I could be wrong.
Well, she's having a great day because she pulled a rare Jackson Holliday Baltimore Orioles rookie card, one of one.
Oh, like
bro.
She needs this.
I know. I'm
are
like,
you kidding me?
Are you a base? She's, I guess, a huge baseball fan.
Slapping the base.
Card collector, whatever it is. But congratulations to Emma Roberts.
She pulled
getting
the one
of
one.
One.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Yeah, man.
Some people are just blessed.
Yes.
Like Bennett Broaddus. Yes.
Yeah. Like Bennett Broaddus.
I swear, comeback is him. You've got it made.
Sounds like nepotism to me.
Speaking of blessed, did you guys see the 6'11" monster tennis player, Riley Opelka, becoming the first American to beat Novak Djokovic in nearly a decade?
Wow. Getting it done.
Okay, Novak Djokovic retired, Eric. This is definitely a ball sack. I'm just kidding. That's not true.
No, I was.
Nadal retired, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Different tennis player, but I thought maybe I could get you.
You can. At this point, I'm very vulnerable.
Seems like a pretty big advantage to be super tall in tennis.
6'11". Yeah, this dude's got great hair, great beard as well. Like this
nationality?
Dude is checking all. He's American.
Oh.
He does. He looks like the Forrest Gump that had been
American,
running.
Brian.
Did you say American?
He did.
Yes.
My apologies.
The first American to beat
Djokovic. You're right. You said it. I'm sorry.
In nearly a decade. It's okay.
I wanted to play the other tall American dude. There's like another 6'7".
Yes. I'm trying to remember.
John Isner?
Yeah, Isner. Yeah. And he's got the stamina of a monster. I remember like a decade ago, he went on like a three-day match with this one dude.
Yeah.
British guy. Yeah. Yes. Andy something. Yes. Yeah. I remember, I was watching that match too. Australian Open.
Yes. Yeah.
I was dating a girl who was a big tennis family.
Me too.
And so, are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I guess I'll lock in on this. It ended up being a great experience.
Let's get the
hell of a 48 hours.
Two tallest tennis players going at it in a match.
I think it would be the tallest. Let's look.
John Isner's like 6'7", I believe.
This dude's 6'11". So okay, if anybody, would you have any 7-foot tennis players? Because this dude's on the brink.
Dirk.
I bet Wemby would crush
that. Well, pickleballer. 817, Biggest Dub promoted a national sales manager. Biggest L, my transmission just blew in my truck.
Okay.
Day the
Walchuk
day.
Special. Hey, yeah. Ice Auto, my friend, 817, Ice Auto,
yeah,
Mike
go see Mike, but gosh, that's several thousand
ice,
dollars.
Ice baby.
Mm. Bum, bum, bum,
it looks
bum.
Like Riley at 6'11". Next closest guy, Christopher Eubanks at 6'7". So that would be our tall off right there, 6'7" versus 6'11".
What happened to Isner? I thought John Isner was a 6'7" guy.
Not seeing Isner listed
did
here.
Did he retire?
Possible.
He might be playing pro beach volleyball. Those dudes, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not really. I just do it.
Yeah, you're right. I was trying to just be a good teammate.
Retired in 23.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. 940, biggest dub. Wife is now pregnant with baby number. Dose.
Oh, dude, nice.
And the number is coming. Is that the same area code as Wolchuk's wife's? Wolchuk, is she breaking news right now?
No.
You sure about that?
I can't be sure about that.
I'm ball sacking you.
I don't think that that's happening yet.
That would be a great way for her to do it, though. Maya, if you're listening, next time you guys go on a cruise and Walchuk gets that sexy streak going again, all right, you just break that news right here on the Fan Text, baby.
Right at the beginning of May, right after the draft.
Oh, no, we got another transmission in a van in the 214. Sorry about you.
What is up with these transmissions?
Scooby-Doo van. Got to watch out.
Zoinks! I'm telling you, man, $3,000 later, it is not fun.
Hey, big L to all involved here. This is Floyd Mayweather and all of his employees at the Mayweather Boxing and Fitness in Los Angeles.
I thought they were the Mayweather Moving Company.
They're claiming that they haven't been paid in weeks, and so now they're revolting, and they are doing protesting outside the facility.
They're going to fight him?
Holding up signs. They're not going to fight him.
Yeah. Put him up, Floyd.
Go get him, Jim.
They're holding up signs that read, "The money team has no money." Oh. And hard work, dedication, and then what? Question mark.
Did the strip club close down?
The Girl Collection?
Yeah.
That thing's still on fire.
Is it?
Because he doesn't have to pay anybody. The clients pay the,
I think they make minimum wage at those things.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they get paid minimum wage.
Yeah, but those tips have got to be fat.
Biggest dub to the whole world this week, though. Biggest dub of the week is going to go to Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah, shout out to Eric.
He remains a legend.
Yeah, he gets to keep that very close.
A name on the tip of everybody's tongue.
I'd like to make a proposal that every week we talk about the NFL rushing record at least once.
I hear you, man.
I would too.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time we get on board with what the rest of the country's doing, talking about that at every turn, every opportunity.
Dawson, do you see the interest we have
around? Holy crap.
I want to make sure the show sheet that once a week we talk about Eric Dickerson. I might have to go back and break down a game, every game, week by week, and how he did it.
There you go.
And how it'll never be.
You can finally honor the guy. You're doing all this lip service about how honoring it is and how much you care about it, but
Dawson,
you don't. This will be the first time that you finally actually do.
I really don't care what Eric's saying right now. I think we need to talk about it every week.
I love it, man. I think this debate is classic.
I love it, man. You're exhausted, Broadus. Shut up.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, coming up 3:20. NFL News of the Day is next. Woolchuck, what do we got?
All right, we got the latest coaching rumors. We're actually all going to get on the same page for these playoff scenarios. And should this playoff rule be changed? That's next.